Welcome to Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. It is our pleasure and privilege to present to you the gospel message of the sovereign grace and glory of God in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that today's program will be a blessing to you. Thank you for listening, and now for today's program.
I'd like to welcome you to our program today. I'm glad you could join us. If you'd like to follow along in your Bibles with the message today, I'll be preaching from the book of John, Gospel of John chapter 15, beginning at verse 1, concerning the subject of Jesus Christ, the true vine. Jesus Christ, the true vine. John chapter 15, beginning at verse 1. Now, often in Scripture, you'll see symbolic language, metaphors, types, and pictures. And one of the ways that the Lord describes His relationship with the church is with the symbolism of farming. And this is you'll see that several times throughout the Scripture. A farmer sowing seed. Often the seed is the Word of God, and it must be watered with the power of the Spirit. Sometimes the seed refers to true believers themselves. In fact, over in John chapter 12, he spoke of himself as being a seed of wheat planted into the ground. And out of that comes much fruit, and that's his people. So we often see that. Well, here in John chapter 15, we see Christ identifying himself as the true vine. Look at verse 1. He says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman." And so we see there another description of the authority and the order of the Trinity. God the Father is the husbandman. God the Son is the true vine. God the Holy Spirit is, you might say, He's the keeper, the applicator of this. And this does not show an inequality within the Trinity, because the Father, the Son, and the Spirit are co-equal in every attribute of deity. But what you see is an order of office. The Father, God the Father, represents the authority, the sovereignty of the Godhead. And then God the Son, He represents the office of mediator, the Savior, the servant. And then God the Holy Spirit, as I said, is the applicator, the applier, you might say, of the benefits of what Christ as the Son accomplished. But He says in John 15:1, "I am the true vine, my Father is the husbandman." Look at verse 2. He says, "Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth." You might look at it as he prunes, like you prune a bush, "that it may bring forth more fruit." Now, what he's talking about there is the difference between one who simply claims to be a disciple of Christ, but who is not a disciple, because they bear not fruit. And then he gives the contrast. There's those who do bear fruit, and the Lord purges them. He prunes them, and he does that in several ways. He does it to growth in grace and in knowledge of Christ. He does it through chastisement. Hebrews chapter 12 speaks of that we may grow. He does it through the Word by the power of the Spirit. He purges it that it may bring forth more fruit. Now, what is this fruit? Well, the fruit is faith in Christ. It's repentance of dead works, and it's perseverance in the faith. That's the fruit of the vine. Now, it's important that we remember and keep things in order. This analogy here is showing us something very significant. And what it's showing us is this. In any good study of farming and plants, botany or whatever, things related to that, we understand that the life comes from the vine. And the branches gain their life from the vine. And they bear fruit from the vine. And that's speaking of the fruit of faith, repentance, and perseverance in the faith. And if you look over in the book of Romans chapter 7, we see how this is related to the gospel. If you look at Romans 7 and verse 4, the Apostle Paul, writing by inspiration of the Spirit here, says, "Wherefore, my brethren, you also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ." Now, first of all, what is it to be dead to the law? Well, you have to understand that in the light of the fact that we are all sinners who deserve death, because the law demands death where sin is charged. In other words, if somebody charges you with a crime, and they come and they arrest you and they put you on trial, you go into the court of law, and there it's determined whether or not you're guilty or not guilty. Well, the Bible teaches us that all of us fell in Adam. All of us are born dead spiritually in sins and trespasses, and that all of us have sinned, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, that's our case. We're sinners, and the wages of sin is death. Now, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, who is the vine. But the wages of sin is death. That's what we deserve. See, this is what we need to understand about the biblical revelation of the reality of who God is and the reality of who we are. God is holy. God is just. God is righteous, and He must punish sinners. You know, people go around there and say, "Well, He hates sin, but He loves the sin." No, God. Listen, God must punish sinners to whom sin is charged. So if the law of God charges me with my sins, then I have no hope. And that means my only hope is there a way to find some way that God can justly not charge me with my sin. Now, the psalmist David expressed that back in Psalm 32. When he said, "Blessed is the man to whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity." That's Psalm 32, I believe, verse 2. "Who imputeth not iniquity, in whose heart there is no guile, no guilt." And what he's saying there is that those to whom God does not charge with sin, they're blessed. But now, how can God not charge me with sin? Well, that's what Romans 7, 4 is about. Look at it again. He says, "Wherefore, my brethren, you also are become dead to the law." In other words, dead to the law means that the law's penalty against my sin is satisfied. Death has already been accomplished. The penalty has been paid. Justice has been satisfied. Righteousness has been established. That's what it is to be dead to the law. But now, I'm a sinner. You're a sinner. How did I become dead to the law? He says in verse 4, "You've become dead to the law by the body of Christ." You see, my death to the law is not based upon anything I do or anything I stop doing. It's not based upon, it's not brought about by reformations of life and character and conduct. It's brought about by one act, by one person, that's the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, God manifest in the flesh. When He died on the cross for the elect of God, for His people given to Him before the foundation of the world, He satisfied the law's penalty of death against them so that they can claim justly and righteously in the mercy and love and grace of God that we're dead to the law. But now, how did I get that way? It wasn't because of what I did or what I don't do. It isn't because of what I decided or chose. It's by the body of Christ. Now, what's the result of that death to the law for God's people? Verse 4 of Romans 7. Wherefore, my brethren, you also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that, or in order that, you should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. Now, do you see the analogy here? The reason that Christ died was to satisfy the justice of God against the sins of his people. Their sins were imputed, charged to him, and he went under the wrath of God to pay for those sins. He was a ransom. He brought about redemption. He died on the cross as my surety. That is, my sins were charged to him, and he paid that debt. He was my substitute, the Lamb of God. See, that's the Lamb that takes the place of God's people, God's chosen people. And he drank damnation dry. He suffered unto death, giving his own precious blood, and redeemed me from my sins by his death, the body of Christ. Now, he did all that in order that his people, his church, made up of the individuals that God chose before the foundation of the world, that they might be married to him, united to him in a love relationship, a divine love relationship. And that relationship, it is a faith relationship. But the faith, the life that he gives his people to bear the fruit of unto God is from the vine. That's what happened. And so we bear fruit unto God. And he says, look at Romans 7 and verse 5. He says, for when we were in the flesh. Now that means when we were in unbelief, unregenerate. The motions or the passions of sins, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth another kind of fruit, fruit unto death. Now that fruit can take on many forms. What kind of, you know, he mentions the motions of sins which were by the law there. That's the passions of sin which were by the law. And I've often said that usually shows up in one of two ways. It will show up in some to where they are just out and out rebellious against law, against justice, against society. They are those who are criminal, malefactors, the scripture calls them, and they don't care about anybody but themselves. And that's the passions of sins which were stirred up, not because of any fault in the law, but because of their rebellion. And then secondly, and I think most commonly, the way that the passions of sins that were by the law show up is in false religion. People trying to keep the law in order to be saved, in order to be made righteous, in order to have a right relationship with God. That's fruit unto death too. Why? Because salvation is not by works. Salvation is by grace. For by grace are you saved, through faith, but that's not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. And so, as long as a person is not united to Christ in God-given faith, all you can do is bring forth fruit unto death. But he says in Romans 7 and verse 6, but now we're delivered from the law. How are we delivered from the law? The law cannot condemn us. The law cannot charge us with our sins, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in oldness of the letter. Now, newness of the Spirit is the obedience of grace and love and gratitude. That's the fruit unto God that comes from the vine, which is Christ. And the oldness of the letter, that's legalism. You know what a legalist is? It's a person who's who serves as a forced slave because he or she is afraid of death or hell or loss of reward. They're mercenaries. They're serving in order to gain by their efforts and not because they love God and love Christ. We'll look back at John chapter 15 now. Now he says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Now who's he talking about? He's talking about false professors. They claim to be in Christ. They claim to believe in him. But they bear no fruit, the fruit of faith, repentance, and perseverance. He's not, listen, that fruit here is not just mere human morality. Because false religion can produce that. Legalism can produce that. But he's talking about the obedience of faith. And what he's talking about is the obedience of one who is resting in Christ for all righteousness before God. My sins were imputed to Christ. His righteousness was imputed to me. And every branch that beareth this fruit of faith, repentance, and perseverance, he purges it. He works with it. He deals with it. He teaches it. He prunes it. He chastises it. Why? That it may bring forth more fruit. And now what that's talking about is, again, faith, repentance, and perseverance. And it goes on. It never stops. He says in verse 3 of John 15, now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Now, Psalm 119 and verse 9 says, wherewith shall a young man cleanse his way? That's by taking heed to the word of God. This is sanctification by the word and the power of the Spirit. Clean meaning this. It doesn't mean you've just cleaned up your act. It doesn't mean you've just turned over a new leaf. It doesn't mean that you've just reformed your outward character and conduct. It means through the word of God, by the power of the Spirit, you've been brought to faith in Christ, repentance of dead works, and perseverance in the faith. Your heart, your mind has been cleansed by the blood of Christ. Now, what does that mean? That means you see that your sins cannot be charged, imputed to you. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifies. You see that your righteousness before God is Jesus Christ crucified and risen from the dead. He's the vine. This life that I have, this spiritual life, is not from me. It wasn't in me naturally. You see, I was born dead in trespasses and sins, spiritually dead. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. This spiritual life, we have physical life, but we're spiritually dead by nature as we're naturally born. But spiritual life, evidenced by the fruit of faith, repentance, and perseverance in the faith by the grace of God, comes from the vine. And how did the vine produce this life? Well, this is Christ who died on the cross, satisfying the justice of God, who was buried, and arose again the third day. You see, in his death, righteousness was established. And the Bible says that as sin, Romans 5:21, as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. My sins were charged to him. His righteousness is charged to me. And I stand before God in a righteousness that I had no part in producing. It's the imputed righteousness of Christ. And it's the source of my life, which is from the vine, which is from Christ. Now he says in verse 4, he says, verse 3, now you're clean through the word which I've spoken unto you. Verse 4, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can you, except you abide in me. The only hope of a sinner being saved, the only hope of a sinner being preserved unto glory, is to abide in Christ and he abiding in us. Now, how do we abide in him? We continually look to him, rest in him, plead his mercy, his blood, as the full payment of all my sins. Plead his righteousness imputed as my whole justification. Right relationship with God. We glorify him. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. I have nothing worth anything to plead before God but Jesus Christ crucified and risen from the dead on my behalf. And that's how we abide in the vine. And he abides in us by his Spirit and by his Word. And he will not let us go. And that's the only hope of a sinner being saved, being preserved, and being brought to glory. He says in verse 5, John 15, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. You see, we don't produce fruit. You know, people, they talk about, well, I've got to see some fruit. Well, most people don't even know what that fruit is. They think it's morality, human morality. And listen, when I say that, I'm not saying that Christians, true believers, should not be moral people. But the fruit here is something that is only produced in true believers, which Satan cannot counterfeit. False religion can make an alcoholic put down the bottle and never take another drink. Now, I'm all for all, if you're an alcoholic, you should never drink again. I'm all for that. But that's not the fruit that he's talking about here. False religion can make a person who's a drug addict never take another drug. False religion, psychology, positive thinking can change people for the better as far as our life in society is concerned. But it cannot produce the fruit that is unto God. Only the vine can produce that fruit. And that's the point of this message. Christ is the true vine. His Father is the husbandman. And his people, his children, true believers, are the branches. And they bear fruit. And he says here, he that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. Without Christ you can't do this. And that proves to you that he's not just talking about general human morality. Because a lot of people do that without Christ. But what he's talking about here as far as bearing this fruit, you can't do it without Christ. He's the vine. Life comes from the vine. And we have no life except that which has come from the vine. Christ said, I'm the way. Over in John 14 and verse 6, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There's life in the Son, S-O-N, and nowhere else. Spiritual life, eternal life, life everlasting is in Christ. Now, false religion can produce a lot of things that people call spiritual life, but it's not. It's fruit unto death. Because I'm telling you, without Christ, without realizing and knowing and believing and submitting to him as the Lord our righteousness, it's all fruit unto death, even though it may appear ripe and good on the outside and to most people. Well, verse 6, he says, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If a person claims to be a Christian, but does not abide in Christ, does not look to him, rest in him as the author and finisher of their faith, but looks elsewhere, goes other ways, adds to him, he's going to be cast forth as a branch. In other words, he wasn't really a branch of the vine of the Lord. He just looked like one maybe to other people. But as a branch, that's a key. And he's withered. And men gather him, cast them into the fire, and they're burned. So false religion, false professions will not do you any good. Verse 7 says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Now that's not, you know, passages like that, or those are things that some people take out and they take out of context and they use them like a genie, like Christ is a genie in the bottle. You know, if I want it hard enough, pray for it hard enough, work hard enough, I can get anything I want. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about life here. He's talking about a sinner seeking life through the vine. And that's what he means when he says, if you ask, you can ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Well, what is it you'll will? What will you want? You'll want life from the vine. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's the context. That's what he's talking about. If you abide in me and my words in you, see, what do I want? I want spiritual life. I want eternal life. He's not talking about wishing for a pot of gold or a big bank account or even physical health. We do pray for things like that. We pray, I pray, Lord, heal me. Heal this person. He may not. But anybody who asks for life from the vine, according to God's word, the gospel way, comes to Christ as a sinner who realizes I have nothing to recommend myself unto God. I have no hope but God's grace in Christ based upon His righteousness alone, you'll receive it. Because that is a desire that God implants within His people. And so He says in verse 8, herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. And verse 9, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. Continue in Christ. Continue in faith. Continue in repentance. Continue in perseverance. He says in verse 10, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Now, he's not talking about earning your salvation by keeping the Ten Commandments there. He's talking about his commandment to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, repent of your dead works, and follow him. And that's an evidence of his love for his people. Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and gave his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. He's the vine. Life is from the vine. And he gives it to his people to bear this fruit. I hope you'll join us next week for another message from God's Word.
We are glad you could join us for another edition of Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. To receive a copy of today's program, or to learn more about Reign of Grace Media Ministries or Eager Avenue Grace Church, write us at 1102 Eager Drive, Albany, Georgia, 31707. Contact us by phone at 229-432-6969 or email us through our website at www.theletterrofgrace.com. Thank you again for listening today, and may the Lord be with you.